Max Seddon of BuzzFeed has a powerful image in his latest story from eastern Ukraine. They're out there, somewhere, he writes, among the sunflowers and the wheat fields. About 80 bodies, the remaining passengers and crew from Malaysian Airlines Flight 17, and no one can reach them because of the heavy fighting going on. Max Seddon is on the line now with us from eastern Ukraine in Donetsk. Ukrainian President Poroshenko created this ceasefire zone 25 miles around the crash site, but there's fighting going on there. What's going on?
Well, the reason there's fighting around the crash site is because President Poroshenko launched an offensive on Sunday. He decided to do this just as 40 Dutch police officers who had agreed to guard the site and protect it from looters and what have you finally arrived in Donetsk 10 days after the crash. And since then, for 3 days now, they have been unable to access the site because the road through it goes through towns where there is very heavy fighting at the moment. And Ukraine initially denied they were launching the offensive. Then they have since then continued to claim that they are not actually violating Poroshenko's decree because they're not doing any military activities within the crash site area itself, which they still admit to not having secured. But they are also neglecting the fact that the towns that are seeing the fiercest fighting, they fall within the 25-mile radius of the crash site that Poroshenko declared a ceasefire in. So the Ukrainians really bear as much responsibility as anyone else for complicating international efforts to secure the site.
What about the international investigators who are trying to get to the crash site? Do they have a daily ritual of kind of getting to this 25-mile perimeter and then saying, oh, there's fighting, we're going back to the hotel? How are they, where are they, and what are they doing?
Well, what they do, they get up in the morning, they're in this hotel, they sit around for a while in the restaurant, in the lobby of the hotel, and they have breakfast. And then eventually some of them, but not the whole team, will drive off towards the site, and they see that it's still blocked off, and they go back. And as far as I can tell, the vast majority of them just seem to spend the whole time sitting around in the hotel eating club sandwiches. Some people I spoke to today in some residential areas at Donetsk, which were hit by shelling, were furious that the OSCE monitors who are accompanying these international experts hadn't showed up hours after this had happened when journalists were there working on the scene and rebel emergency workers were trying to clean things up and evacuate people. They hadn't come to do anything. So there's a lot of resentment from the local population.
Still, Max, you'd think the government in Kiev would be thinking we could score some propaganda points by allowing these investigators into the crash site. So do you think this military action has more value for them? And if so, what's that value?
I don't think that that's even necessarily what they're thinking about. I think it's quite obvious that the real purpose of this offensive isn't to secure the crash site. That is got to be a secondary concern because it was perfectly easy the entire time to get to the crash site until they launched this offensive. The real point of this is that it completely cuts off Donetsk from the eastern half of the rebel-held area and also from the Russian border. And it would make it much easier for them to defeat the rebels.
Max, I know war can't always be assessed with a score, but is it clear who's winning the war in Ukraine right now?
Well, if you're talking about the longer term, then Ukraine is definitely on the front foot here. They have taken a large amount of territory in recent weeks, and there doesn't appear to be a way for the separatists to win militarily unless there's some sort of drastic intervention by Russia, which doesn't look like it's going to happen. The prime minister of the separatists, Alexander Borodai, who's a Russian citizen with no connection to the region, he was, Ukraine released an intercepted conversation, which very much sounded like him talking to a former senior Russian official last week, where he said that if the front didn't dramatically shift in their favor in 2 weeks, then they wouldn't be able to hold out any longer. Whether in the long term, if Ukraine wins, that they can really call this a victory is another question, because the population here is, for the most part, so angry at the central government.
Well, it is a confusing situation in Ukraine, but you're always good at bringing some clarity to it, Max. Max Seddon of BuzzFeed in Donetsk in eastern Ukraine. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.